This is Dr. Robert Abley shining a spotlight on freedom, which you can also find on my website, spotlightonfreedom.com. Since we are once again embarking upon a new year, and since this is a time that people stop and look forward to what they would like to see in the new year, I will do likewise and venture my hope that in the coming year we begin to renew our commitment to the common good. The philosophy of the common good is opposed to the philosophy of individualism. Individualism maintains that freedom cannot be limited except when one's actions would cause harm to another. The problem with this view is twofold. First, one could never find it in either the letter or the spirit that animated the founding of this country. Second, when one sees how capitalism has expropriated this philosophy, one begins to wonder whether that unlimited freedom is really what America is to be all about. I would argue that understanding the common good as a limit to personal freedom is rooted firmly in the philosophy of the founders of this country. But let us begin with John Locke, the major influential thinker on the founders' viewpoints. In his two treatises of government, Locke says that individual liberty is limited by what one needed, saving the rest for others in one's society. Further, in his essay, Some Thoughts Concerning Education, Locke states explicitly that every human is regulated above all by his or her awareness that they are members of a community of rational beings who are all equally committed to self-preservation. The founders clearly connect the common good with the concepts of corruption and factions, the definition of which is when one group, minority or majority in status, uses the social or political process to gain advantages for themselves that others do not possess. John Adams, for instance, said this of the common good: "Without a positive passion for the public good established in the minds of the people, there can be no republican government nor any real liberty." In the Federalist Papers, James Madison defined corruption as the pursuit of private or self-interest over the public or common good. This led to further reflections in the Federalist regarding the importance of what he called the public spirit, that is, the good of the country as a whole versus corruption, defined as those actions selfish or neglectful of the good of the whole. Thomas Jefferson prominently warned that Americans might well become so totally preoccupied with accumulating material goods and comforts that their understanding of the common good would be dwarfed by self-centered acquisition. Further, Jefferson proposed such things as the public school system, abolishing slavery, and establishing a Library of Congress, all in the name of contributing to the public good. These concerns for the common good found their way directly into our Constitution. The preamble of the Constitution speaks of a more perfect union, the idea of justice, which implies directly that equality and fairness are to be part of our bonds to one another, and that practices which do not enhance these bonds are to be rejected. Further, the Constitution speaks of domestic tranquility, and its meaning is quite clear. Peaceful, law-abiding, ordered society allows individuals to thrive. But when we lose our common identity, we lose our tranquility. So my New Year's hope is that in the coming year we begin to come together more as a people and less as a conglomeration of individuals. This means we will be looking out for each other's good as well as our own good. The result will be a more peaceful society where goodwill between people will trump the selfishness of individual self-interest. Robert Abley, SpotlightOnFreedom.com.